Take a look at this. A truck slams through a brick building. WRAL's breaking news tracker is there live with more on what happened. Plus, what early autopsy reports are showing about how three Camp Lejeune Marines found dead in a car may have died.
Duke Health's violence recovery program has served almost 150 patients since last September, some as young as 15. I'll show you how the program works and its impact.
We haven't seen the worst of these high temperatures yet. How to factor dangerous heat into your weekend plans and who could see storms.
Right now at 7, two people are injured after a truck drove into an auto repair shop. Good evening and thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Let's take a look at it. You can see the damage from the outside. They're towing the truck out of the building there. Unbelievable. This is damage that happened in Clayton this afternoon.
And that's where we find WRAL's Willie Danley. Willie, you actually spoke with the store's general manager.
Yes, I did, Ashley. As you can see, I'm outside of Rockside Tire in Clayton, where earlier today, the driver of a pickup truck lost control of her vehicle and crashed into this shop where, as you can see, a crew is working to secure that building. Take a look at this security camera footage that we obtained, and you can see the truck crashing into the front of the building and workers attempting to run away. I'm told by people who work here that the employees saw the car coming when it jumped over the curb, and they screamed for everyone in the building to move out of the way. Now, take a look at this video that we captured with the WRAL breaking news tracker, and you can see this truck being removed earlier this afternoon and the damage that it left behind. Bricks all over the ground and the roof of the building being supported by a wooden beam. Harry Edwards is the general manager of the store. He tells me that the driver of the vehicle and one of the employees in the video were both taken to the hospital.
They were sitting right here and they saw the truck coming, and of course they hollered, "Get out of the way," and one of the boys didn't get out quick enough, and one of the tires clipped his right leg, I think, and he's in some pain, but he's going to be okay maybe Monday or Tuesday next week.
Edwards tells me that they're hoping to get this store back open by Friday or by next week at latest, but they're still waiting to get confirmation on that when their insurance agent comes out here. We're going to continue to follow the story and keep you updated with what we find out. Willie Danley, WRAL News.
I can only imagine the surprise of those people who were inside. Thank you, Willie. Live in Clayton.
So this afternoon, we learn now that the three Marines found dead in a car early Sunday morning in Pender County likely died from carbon monoxide poisoning. WRAL News Plus anchor Grace Holland is here with more on what we know about this investigation. Grace.
Dan, the sheriff's office also identified those three Camp Lejeune Marines and said early autopsy results show that all three of them died from carbon monoxide poisoning. 19-year-old Lance Corporal Tanner Kaltenberg, 23-year-old Lance Corporal Marax Dockery, and 23-year-old Lance Corporal Ivan Garcia were found dead inside a car outside of a Speedway gas station in Hampstead early Sunday morning. The mother of one of those men called 911 on that morning when he never arrived on a flight back home to Oklahoma.
They found his Jeep at the barracks with suitcases that he's not there or anything, and we're just trying to locate him. I was supposed to pick him up at 11 p.m. last night. He never got off any of the flights.
The sheriff's office says foul play is not suspected. It's still unclear how long the men were dead before their bodies were discovered or how this CO poisoning may have happened.
It's still such a strange story, Grace. Lots of questions. You feel terrible for their family. Thanks for that report.
Duke University's hospital's violence recovery program works with victims of shootings and stabbings. The team has served almost 150 patients since September. In the wake of five shootings yesterday, including one of a 16-year-old, WRAL's Monica Casey shows us how they help these victims and try to prevent the violence from happening again.
The violence recovery program here at Duke University Hospital connects victims of violent crime to resources and support to help them recover.
The program extends beyond the hospital. The team works with victims and families for up to a year, trying to decrease the risk of reoccurring violence. Program manager Uzuri Holder says the toll for these victims is not just physical, but emotional.
Many people you know, may find it hard to return to work and normal activities because there is this fear that it may happen again.
Six people were shot in Durham yesterday. Four of them have serious injuries. Holder says the disregard for life is frustrating.
It's one or five or six. It takes a toll. It's overwhelming. It's sad and it's disheartening.
The youngest victim, who has life-threatening injuries, is just 16. Holder says working with those young patients is especially difficult.
It hits us hard, and our goal is to always support that patient and their family, because really and truly, they're not an adult. They're not making decisions on their own.
Durham police have now connected one of yesterday's shootings on Cheek Road to two others, last Thursday on House Avenue and Monday on Chapel Hill Road. They say all three began as domestic incidents and now involve more people who are known to each other. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
And Durham police have not yet released the names of anyone shot yesterday or announced any arrests.
Well, let's take a live look outside. This shot of Lake Gaston always makes me think about getting a boat. I hear they're a lot of work and they're expensive. That's what keeps me from getting a boat. But it was another hot day outside. Temperatures, they're going to keep on rising. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center. How hot are we thinking it's going to get, Kat?
We're talking within a degree of 100. These are not the heat indices. This is the actual temperature forecast for you. Both Friday and Saturday, we are now forecasting 99 degrees in Raleigh, Durham, Rocky Mount, Fayetteville, 96 in Roxboro, 98 degrees in Goldsboro, Clinton, and Southern Pines. You just can't escape the heat as we head toward the weekend. Tomorrow, the heat index should be up to 103, a little higher than it was today. But Friday and Saturday, that's where we could really run into some issues with the dangerous heat. The heat index forecast 108 on Friday, 109 on Saturday, and still at 104 on Sunday. So take care of yourself this weekend. Don't overexert yourself. I'll have a closer look at some rising storm chances coming up, Dan.
Okay. Thanks, Kat.
It has been 1 week since a historic tornado tore through Nash and Edgecombe counties. We expect officials to release their damage assessment report as soon as tomorrow. Officials have been reviewing the damage since Monday as they work on their report. We're told the recovery effort for families impacted just still getting underway. The report will help them figure out how much federal, state aid they will ask for. Once those requests are filed, we'll learn how long people will have to wait before they get the aid they need.
VinFast is getting ready to start construction on its $2 billion electric vehicle facility in Chatham County. Some Sky 5 video here of the site that they want to build on there in Moncure today. It's been almost a year at this point since NCDOT held public meetings about a proposed network of new roads through that area to handle the expected increase in traffic. WRL's Matt Tallhelm updates us on what will happen to the homes, businesses, and the historic church that are in the way of those roads.
NCDOT plans to widen old US 1 here, basically up to the front steps of the church. Another road would actually run through that building over here on the church's property. This is a small church. 25 to 30 members attend to three services here a week. They have been fighting to save their church from demolition, and now they're getting help from a new neighbor. The steeple of Mary Oaks Baptist Church rises above this corner like it has for 135 years.
I'm 71 and I've been here ever since.
Jerry Holden is one of the caretakers.
I was married here. Big part of the family, big part of my family still goes here.
The church, surrounded by its whitewashed picket fence, sits on the corner of Old and New, Old US 1 and New Elam Church Road. Puts it in the path of a new network of roads planned by NCDOT to get traffic in and out of the VinFast factory.
Changes are going to happen. We don't mind seeing VinFast come in. VinFast is not the one destroying the community.
Stakes in the ground show where that road would run through the church property. It's part of the first phase of road projects around the VinFast site, including a new exit off the highway at New Elam Church Road. NCDOT says construction will begin on this first phase this fall and winter. Right now, the state is waiting on environmental permits before it can make offers to property owners. Three businesses, 11 homes, and the church are in the path of those road projects.
Well, they're supposed to be giving us an estimate on this, but they say they're not going to change. They say that we will be in the right of way, so it's got to go.
But demolition may not be the only way through this. VinFast is offering 3 acres of land it owns to help relocate the church nearby. The company's CEO attended a service with the congregation this week to deliver the deal.
We appreciate them helping us. They have said that they would love to see it stay right where it's at, but DOT won't budge for them either.
NCDOT is also working on a second phase of road projects here. That would impact 2 businesses and 16 homes, but that all is dependent on VinFast creating all the jobs and investment it says it will do. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Chatham County.
And when it comes to VinFast, they have faced several delays, even pushed back the opening of its factory from 2024 to 2025. The company, though, will finally break ground to start construction on Friday of this week.
Trust in our nation's public health institutions declined during the pandemic. Now, former North Carolina Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen has the hard task of restoring faith in the CDC. In her first interview with a North Carolina TV station, the new CDC director said lessons learned while serving in our state will help her lead the nation.
We saw that decline in trust happen in other places, but not in North Carolina. And we know it because we measured it. We measured trust over a period of time through the pandemic. And we actually saw trust in the Department of Health and Human Services increase during that time. And again, I think it's because we had a tactical plan to address trust. So I think that there is a way that we can approach that here at the CDC. Those are the lessons I bring. And so I think there is a way that we can focus on trust, focus on making sure that folks can hear simple and clear communications from us. And that's what we're already in the process of working on.
How do you build credibility, though, when misinformation is so widespread? How do you break through that?
Well, for me, the tactic here is flood the zone, meaning that we just need to have good information out there fast. It has to be accurate. It has to be timely so that folks are seeing it where they get their information. And so we have to make sure that we're getting a lot of good information out. And it's also about using trusted messengers.
You can find the full conversation with Dr. Cohen on our website, WREL.com.
Property taxes in Wake County are rising, and not everyone qualifies for assistance programs.
What the county is doing to help. Carly?
And watch parties for the U.S. Women's World Cup match are going on all over the area tonight. How North Carolina is showing up big on the global stage.
Welcome back to the WRL Live Center right now. Some developing news out of Selma. Investigators say 3 or 4 suspects shot at an officer early this morning. New right now at 7 o'clock. A reward is being offered for information leading to their arrest. Here's what happened off of Pollock Street. And the good news report, that officer did not get injured, dropped to the ground just in time. This is a photograph some of police just released. You see this damage right here to the patrol cruiser. This is from one of the bullets that was fired. Investigators say this officer stopped around 12:15 or 12:30 or so this morning when he was stepping out of his vehicle. That's when these suspects just opened fire on this officer. The suspects got away, so they're searching for them. No description right now of who's involved or a car. We'll certainly keep you updated as new information comes out. Selma police say if you have a business in that area off of Pollock Street, you're asked to look at your cameras, security cameras. If you saw anything around that 12:30 window this morning, you're asked to give police a call as they track down those responsible.
All right, Mark, well, we're glad to hear the officer is okay. The 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup is here. Fans are getting ready to cheer on Team USA tonight as they take on the Netherlands. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live now at Carolina Air House, where people are getting ready to watch tonight. Hey, Carly.
Hey, Ashley. Yeah, a lot more people at Carolina Ale House than there were an hour ago. And check this out. Members of NC Courage staff are already here. They're just arriving now for pregame activities. Players are going to start coming around 8 p.m. And that's because their teammates will be playing on the world stage. 2 players from NC Courage will be playing for the U.S. That includes goalkeeper Casey Murphy and fullback Emily Fox. Tonight, Courage players will be signing merch and getting the crowd pumped up here at Carolina Ale House. There will be pregame activities like soccer, cornhole, raffles, and more happening throughout the night.
The U.S. Women's National Team is easy to pull for. They've always been a great team. It's going to be a competitive match tonight, so we're really excited.
Well, Carolina Ale House expects at least 300 people to show up based on reservations. The game kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox 50. We'll see you there.
Oh, it's going to be a great time tonight. Okay, Carly, thank you.
That's going to be a fun one. For many homeowners, property tax relief is a crucial lifeline. In Wake County, there are three options for assistance. WRL's Julian Grace, though, tells us what happens when you need help, but you're not eligible.
Every house gets them. Property tax bills. But what happens when you get the bill and you can't find relief? This is the historic Rochester Heights neighborhood.
It was the first African-American subdivision in Raleigh. The very first. I made it.
And in this neighborhood, you'll find Elaine Peebles Brown. She lives in the house her father, Millard R. Peebles, built. And she'll admit living in this historic district and keeping up with the maintenance bills and property taxes isn't easy.
I didn't have a 401k. I really just had 401 Jesus, because I don't know how I've made it in the last, 23 years of my retirement.
And she's not alone. Wake County has three different programs to help with property taxes, including senior and disabled, tax deferment, and disabled veterans program. Thousands of people received help last year. But for those who don't qualify, Wake County has found a way to offer additional assistance.
We've put in a number of programs that help people with their utility bills. They can help first-time home buyers by providing low-interest loans. They can help seniors in particular, but really anybody, make improvements or repairs that are necessary repairs to their homes.
Utilities and home repairs don't cover property taxes, but it does provide homeowners with some help.
That would be a tremendous help. That would be a tremendous help.
Reporting in Wake County, Julian Grace, WRL News.
Now, if you are interested in applying for assistance, utilities, the things, home improvement, you can do so through the Wake County government website.
Oh, it was a hot one out there today, and it's only going to get hotter. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here now with the forecast. Kat.
You know, tomorrow we're going to be back where we were today, 97. That's been the hottest day so far this year. And there's not much relief out there in terms of rain, but there is one storm that fired up very, very fast. I wanted to point out right over Spring Lake. It's barely moving, dumping very heavy rain, a lot of lightning, but it is one small thunderstorm. When you look at the wide view on the radar, that's the only thunderstorm in our viewing area. We've got one just north of Greenville, east of us. Elsewhere, we've seen a shower pop up and fade pretty quickly. But throughout the remainder of the work week, our storm chances will be like today, where we can't rule one out, and that's why we're putting in that 20% chance for rain, but it's not going to be a widespread rain event by any means. 99 on Friday and Saturday. If you're planning your weekend right now, now that we're halfway through the week, just beware of the heat this weekend. 96 on Sunday. Talking more about storm chances, though, it's 30% on Saturday, 40% on Sunday. Sunday is our best chance of rain and storms on the entire 7 days. So it's still not a widespread soaking round like many of us would like. But let's take a closer look at our weekend setup. Saturday, there's no real trigger for these storms in place. It's just some pretty typical hit or miss summertime storms that fire up. But better storm chances would come on Sunday. And one of the reasons why, we've got more moisture moving onshore and we have a front a little bit closer by. We're going to be watching for potentially some strong to severe storms this weekend. With how hot and how humid it is, that translates to a lot of energy in the atmosphere that these storms could work with. I'd mentioned some moisture moving ashore, and previously the National Hurricane Center yesterday had an area of yellow off the southeast coast marked for low development chances. That's been taken away, and there's really one system focusing in on now. So let's take a closer look here. It's right here. That's where we have the system right now. It's not organized. It doesn't look like much, and it's going to take a while as it moves to the west before it really moves into an environment that could be more favorable for development. That chance, about 30% over the next 7 days. So we're going to be keeping an eye on this system. August, September, that's when things ramp up in terms of hurricane season. The European model ensembles do carry it to the west, give it about a 50 to 60% chance that it could develop. And then as it gets closer to Bermuda, it's likely to get kind of drawn in by the Bermuda high and the European model, steering it to the north and away from land. So we'll keep an eye on that potential. Still very early on, and it's closer to Africa than it is the U.S. Looking ahead, we've got a hot weekend ahead. 99 on Saturday with a heat index of 109. It's dangerous heat for the weekend, but next week, not quite as bad. High temperatures near 90. Some small storms. storm chances on the way. We could be in the upper 60s by Wednesday, Thursday morning, a little less humid, perhaps.
Oh, my goodness. 109 with that humid.
Find a swimming pool, some air conditioning, something.
Yeah. Okay, Kat, thank you.
We got some good news for Hurricanes fans.
Fan favorite future Captain Sebastian Aho will be at the center of these celebrations for years to come. Details of his new deal next.
Sebastian Aho, Hurricanes forward. He's going to be sticking around here in Raleigh for a while. It's good news.
Yes, the 26-year-old star just signed an 8-year contract extension with the Canes. General manager Don Waddell calls him a tremendous leader on and off the ice. Aho had 67 points in the most recent regular season, 12 points in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. 99.9 The Fan's Adam Gold spoke to WRAL about what this means for the team.
But Aho's kind of the ringleader. And when you have a solid guy like that, a work ethic that is second to none, then that's the kind of guy you want to build your team around.
Gold adds Aho is the player the other players want to play with. First joining the Hurricanes in 2016, now sticking around through at least the 2031-32 season.
And they, you know, if you're wondering, oh, how they keep him? $78 million. I give you 78 million reasons. It's about $10 million a year. And he's described as such a leader. He's a young guy.
I know. He's turned 26 years old today. Happy birthday.
That's a good birthday present.
Yeah,
how about it?
No kidding.
No one became a super mega millionaire after last night's drawing.
That means the pot now grows to an estimated $910 million with the cash option of just over $464 million. If won, this would be the fifth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. The next drawing is on Friday. And don't go anywhere. In less than 5 minutes, our annual and ever popular Tar Heel Traveler restaurant special premieres.
Scott Mason with Mom and Pop Shops with meats and sweets. You're going to be hungry watching this one. Stick around right after this newscast. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.